Is God a politician? Is God a politician? If so, whose side is he on anyway? Who? Let's have a prayer, and then we'll get answers to this silly question. Thank you, Lord God, for this another opportunity to deliver this message, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the people who hear it will be encouraged by it. And I pray, Lord, that you will be lifted up. And, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth will be pleasing to thee. And when all is said and done, Lord God, it's my prayer, Lord, that you be satisfied completely and that you will be strengthened throughout the land, Lord, that all may seek you out, O Lord, how great thou art. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Is God a politician? Is God a politician? Oh, bite your tongue. At least when you consider the politicians we have today, right? First, let us define. I like that word, define. That means to explain, right? Let us define the term politician. Politician. What is a politician? Well, according to Webster, and so simply put, a politician is a person engaged in politics. Wow. That seems to make a lot of sense, doesn't it? Okay, so far, huh? Yeah. So, what then is politics? What is politics? Again, according to Webster now, politics is the art and science of government. Government. Its activities and its beliefs and its affairs. But most of all, politics is a factional scheming for power. Have you got that? A factional scheming for power. Although at times it's difficult to tell them apart, if you're a politician, well, you are a part of all the above. All the above. Right at the outset, let me say this. I refuse to believe that God is a politician. No, of any kind. No. He wrote a book, a bestseller. No, nothing less, of course. That clearly defines the art and science of government. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. In fact, he gave us government. He gave us instructional government. And if we open God's instructional manual, I like that word, the Holy Bible, that is, we will see right at the start that man is the head of the woman. Okay, hold on, women. Don't leave the room. Don't stay where you are. I'm not going to put down women. No. You have to listen to what the Word of God is going to say now, please. But the Bible says very clearly that the man is the head of the woman. And the woman is not to usurp authority over the man. So, am I rubbing you the wrong way? Well, I pray not, because I'm only telling you what God has laid on my heart and what God's Word is saying in His holy book. In Genesis 3:16 and 1 Timothy 2:12, that's where we get this. that the woman is not to usurp authority over the man. You know, I'm going to mention some names here, and I don't mention them lightly because they truly are doing exactly what I said, usurping authority over the man. People like Jermaine Greer, Shirley MacLaine, Jane Fonda, Oprah Winfrey, and Hillary Clinton. Nothing to do with the election that she lost. Ooh. They should all understand this. They should. Oh, yes. There are various levels of politics, you know, from ground level to sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. A politician's one who lays out the rules and the regulations of the government he represents. He's a wing of the government, you might say. He's a tool of the government, you might say. He's a lot of things of the government, you could say. The body of politicians, or pardon me, this body of politicians, usually works in earnest. No, that's not a town, no. That's a method, a way of working. In earnest, for the good and the well-being of the people they have been selected to represent. When you vote for somebody in an election, they become your mouthpiece to the government, so to speak. They represent you, the people. At least they're supposed to. One of the great problems that has evolved over the centuries is not only the candidates' lust for power, but the selfish desire to please and to feed his own or her own egotism. Mm-hmm. Like Al Capone and Pretty Boy Floyd. They took more than their share from the constituents' bank accounts, didn't they? Oh, yeah. Today, well, such corruptness and greed is at such a level that the perpetrators, well, they tend to blend in with the politicians. They seem to blend in with the politicians. Or do the politicians blend in with them? So much, in fact, that it's hard sometimes to tell them apart. Ooh, tell them apart. In fact, today's political villains even take on the characteristics of wolves in sheep's clothing. You know what a wolf is, right? But if they're in sheep's clothing, you don't recognize them as wolves. Do ya? We who are on the sidelines, well, we must continue to cling to the breastplate of faith. Yes, we must. If you read the small print in your daily worship manual, you may see an amendment. That's a big word. I can't get my tongue around it. Amendment. There it is. Got it. Telling you that the world without God in it, is doomed to eternal damnation. That's a fact, you know. In other words, if you do not believe in the God of the Bible, if you have not repented and acknowledged his plan of salvation, regardless of what nation you rule over, if you have refused to live a holy and consecrated life in the eyes of a righteous God and made known unto the people who the true foreman of your life is, then you are fair game. Yes, you are. You are fair game to all that is evil. And you don't have God's support. You got to ask for it. God loves to give to his people, but he loves to hear from you too. Makes sense, doesn't it? Remember this, you cannot serve the people with godly direction if you continue to go around in circles yourself. Can you? The Word of God clearly tells us we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth. Which strengtheneth. We can do all things. Is God on your side? He is. If he's on your side, how do you know it? Do you commune with him every day? Do you talk to him? Not in a way that he could be fictional, but in a way that he's living inside of you. Great respect for God, huh? If you look around at all that is happening in this crazy world today, what do you see? Do you see joy and peace? Do you see what's happening in the government of our land and other lands? Do you see children brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Or are you afraid to walk down the street or even hesitate to go out of doors? Is it not difficult to know who the enemies of God are when your nation's highest ranking officials publicly demand that Christianity be destroyed? Is it not? If not, then you know you're living in the end times, when unborn babies have their brains literally sucked out as they're ready to exist in their mother's womb. Then know this: God knows every one of them. Every single one of them. Why? Because they belong to him. They're his. And what you do to his children, you do unto God. Unto God. Think about it. Think about it. Mothers of your aborted children, hear well. For the flames of hell will one day ravage your murderous soul, and there will be no reprieve. It will be too late. Now is the time of repentance. Is God a politician? He's the greatest politician that ever was and ever will be. You see, he knows each one of us individually. And he loves us collectively. Our all-powerful God is the greatest politician there ever was and ever will be. He's the master builder and the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. Everything that exists does so because God, he spoke it into existence. Let there be light, there was light. And in the beginning, all that he ever made was perfect and flawless. And this includes the born-again sinner, like me, like you. All who give their lives to Christ. Oh. Some people have said that there is no such thing as an honest politician. Some people have said that. Yeah. Well, it might seem like that. Makes one wonder, doesn't it? Where or how did honest Abe Lincoln get his handle? Others have said that by today's standards, compared to back then, well, the devil hasn't made as many inroads. Therefore, honesty was still alive. If you can find it. Of course, God's word tells us there is none righteous. No, not one. Excuse me. It's been said that the truest words ever spoken were in the war-torn trenches just before a major battle. That's when the soldiers bare their souls to each other. They do. Is God a politician? Is he? Well, he does make promises. He does favor the little children, even as far back as Exodus. Let's read a few of God's promises, and you decide. Joshua's address to Israel. Here's what he said. Therefore, it shall come to pass that all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God hath promised you. 1 Kings 5:12. And the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him. Titus 1 and 2. Now this is my favorite. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised the world before it began. We can read also in Hebrews 11, verse 11, I invite you to go there and read it in your spare time. Write it down. Hebrews 11, 11. James chapter 2, verse 5. Acts 1, verse 4. So forth and so on. The great and eternal promises of God. You think God makes false promises? Well, we know politicians do. But if all politicians were like God, or even if all politicians were wanting to be like God, had a desire in their heart to be like God, what a wonderful country, what a wonderful land it would be to live in. But there's no faith in our land. Our land has dried up its faith. Our people have become bitter because they are being taken advantage of by greedy, unheld promises. Oh, yes, how we need the great and eternal promises of God to reassure us of what's ahead. If we but repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I suppose we could say that God was somewhat of a politician, I guess. But rest assured, he is one politician who has always, always been true to his word and never went back on it. And that, my friends, I can promise you, he's still on the throne. He's still the God of all things. And he still loves you. And he will not give up on you until you give up on him. That's the kind of God we serve. The true God. The holy God. The righteous God. The God of all creation. The God of all eternity. What a wonderful, wonderful God. You know, some people say, well, I pray, but God doesn't seem to answer my prayers. I ask you this. Do you pray only when you want something from God? You see, a lot of people call themselves Christians and they just go about their regular lifestyle. I mean, if you stop them on the street and say, are you a Christian? They'd say, yes, I'm a Christian. And then you ask them maybe where they work. They might say, I work in the bar down the street. They might ask you, you might ask them, what do they do in their spare time? Oh, well, you know, we get together and we have parties and enjoy ourselves and go on trips, you know, and all this and that. But chances are you won't hear anybody say, we all get together every week and go to church, and then after church we go to somebody's house and we have a good time of fellowship in the Lord. That's right. That's what God is. When you have fellowship with other believers, you are having fellowship with Jesus. Some may doubt that. Well, I feel sorry for you, because there's no room in heaven for doubters. I could go on and on telling you story after story. I mean, if you go in your church today and see that it has changed from what it used to be many years ago. You see, I got saved a long time ago, and I got saved in a church now. I'm explaining the building here. The building, the first church building, I mean, after Catholicism, that's all in the past. But when I got saved and came to Christ, and I went to a church that was King James, where Christ lived, when I went there, you know what it was? I mean, you talk about Christ being born in a stable. Our church building was the back of an old garage. An old garage that was closed. And it was opened and renovated so it could we could make it into a place where we could come together and worship God. That's where we worshiped in the beginning. Later on, we got a bigger building. Praise be to God. God is able, you know. He provided. And our numbers grew. And we gave God the praise. We gave him the preeminence. God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, I pray. I pray so much that you will not look upon God as just another politician. God is your Savior. He's the one who died for you on Calvary. Now, don't say, well, that was Jesus. Well, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen him. You see, the three the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, they're all one. So, rattle that around in your head for a while. You'll understand it. He did this for us. The least we can do for Him is show our appreciation by praying without ceasing. And don't get worried about that without ceasing, because it does not mean always, always on your knees here and there and in your car and at work. Doesn't mean that at all. It means always be in an attitude of prayer. If you're at work and something goes amiss, take a moment out and pray about it. Oh Lord, please help me to overcome this situation. If your job is in jeopardy, pray about it. Lord God, would you help me to continue on here? But let your perfect will have the preeminence in my life. That's praying without ceasing. Pray all things. Give thanks to God. He'll work it out for you. My friends, I want to thank you again for listening to this program. And I want to thank the fine people at the Just Jesus Network for allowing me to be a part of their Saturday morning lineup. May God bless each and one of you richly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.